Hi there, my wonderful listeners. It's your friend Lo here again. I'm so glad you could join me for another episode of Lounging with Lo. And as I always mention, if this is your first time tuning into the show, thank you so much and welcome to the show. And to my other loyal listeners out there, it's great to have you back joining me again. Again, I want you guys to connect with me on social media, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. My email is also on there if you want to reach out to me through email. I'd love to hear from you. Your feedback is incredibly important to me. I'd like to hear your thoughts about my work, any topics that you want me to cover in future episodes, or maybe ideas that could help me improve, or just what you think about the episodes. If there's anything that you want to share, that'd be awesome. I'd like to do an episode just about your thoughts. In today's episode, guys, we're going to be discussing one of my all-time favorite movies. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited. Okay, I would probably take this movie if I was on a deserted island, because I would watch this all the time. This is like... It's The Mask!
Thank you. You love me. You really love me.
If you've not seen this film, I would recommend you start this podcast right this second. Go watch the movie because there are going to be some spoilers in here. Ugh, I can't wait. This is so exciting. I'm so excited. Okay. Calm down, Lauren. Find your center. The Mask is about a nice guy named Stanley Ipkiss, and he works at a bank in Edge City. His buddy Charlie tells him about a new club opening in town and invites him to come along. While they are talking, a gorgeous blonde named Tina Carlisle comes into the bank and talks with Stanley about opening a new account. And before he has a chance to ask about it, she notices his tie and begins flirting with him. What Stanley did not realize is that Tina was casing the bank for her gangster boyfriend, Dorian. Later, after getting kicked out of the club, he picks up a mask that he saw in the river and takes it to his apartment and tries it on. After greeting his dog Milo and watching cartoons, he notices his mask and he puts it on. The mask gives him an alternative personality, causing him to get into mischief and chaos at night. The mask woos Tina at the club and Dorian gets jealous, and then later Dorian has that thirst for power and takes the mask from Stanley to use for evil. Stanley saves Edge City from Dorian's evil plans and gets the girl. That's the brief Reader's Digest of the entire movie. We're going to talk about a lot of things in this film, so let's go ahead and start diving in, shall we? Let's talk about our characters. We have Stanley Ipkiss, The Mask, Tina Carlisle, and Dorian Tyrell, since they are the main characters of the movie. Stanley Ipkiss is portrayed as a shy, humble, and good-hearted person who is often mistreated by others. He loves his dog Milo and takes crap from everybody around him, that's including his friend Charlie and his landlady. That would be Stanley. Now, after he puts the mask on, he begins to stand up for himself and be the romantic that he hoped he would be for Tina. Stanley's alter ego, The Mask, is a green-faced, eccentric, bizarre, wacky trickster with a hyperactive, zany personality that has powers and cartoonish-like movements.
This is incredible. With these powers, I could be... a superhero! I could fight crime, protect the innocent.
Quit for world peace!
But first...
He loves to be the center of attention and is an excellent dancer. He helps save the town from which the demise of Dorian Tyrell, which is completely out of his normal personality. Let's talk about one of my favorite comedic actors is Jim Carrey. He plays Stanley Ipkiss and The Mask. He's also played Ace Ventura and Dumb and Dumber, which made him popular in the 90s. These three movies made a name for himself. Did you guys know this? Did you guys know that Jim Carrey actually started making faces and impressions at the age of 8? This is what he would do. He'd get a mirror. So he would go into a room where there's a mirror, whether it's his own room or somewhere else. He would go to that mirror and stare at it and then just stretch his face as far as he could go to make it unique. That's how he's able to get like that smile that he gets in The Grinch, and how he's able to do the Fire Marshal Bill from Living Color. Here's something about his past you probably don't even know about. He had to leave school in 1978 at the age of 16 to work as a janitor for 2 years to help support his family. That's kind of heartbreaking. Here you are, you're about almost sophomore junior year, and you had to leave school. That kind of sucks. So here's another cool fact about Jim. He is the first actor to reach $20 million salary mark for The Cable Guy in 1996. The first actress to do this same achievement was Julia Roberts 4 years later, when she was paid the same amount for her role in Erin Brockovich. Not bad. Let's talk about our gorgeous blonde, Tina Carlisle. She's gorgeous. She is the gangster's girlfriend. She sings at the club called Coco Bongo. She goes to the bank and meets Stanley Ipkiss, and they develop a bit of a friendship, then an attraction to him since he's different from Dorian.
Thanks.
For what?
Lots of things. Sharing a sunset with me. For being the only guy who treated me like a person and not some sort of party favor. For being any kind of romantic. Even a hopeless one.
So she meets the mask at the club after her number, which she sings, like I said, she sings at the club. And they dance to the song Hey Pajuco, where she gets kissed by him. Now, she has no idea who the mask is, who the man is. And she wanted to see him again, but remains friends with Stanley. So she meets Stanley at the park before the mask arrives, and they enjoy a nice sunset together. And then the wacky mask comes in and flirts with her. Jeez. So she realizes that Stanley is the mask, and then she likes Stanley because he was different from Dorian, as I mentioned. So after Dorian is defeated, they come together, and they become a couple. Guys, did you know that this was Cameron Diaz's first movie debut? She was in the modeling industry when she was 16 years old, and was on the cover of many magazines like Seventeen and some advertisements for Levi's, Coca-Cola, and Calvin Klein. When she was approached for the role of Tina, she auditioned 12 times and landed the role 7 days before they even started the film. Now, I'm sure you've heard of Cameron Diaz's name, especially when it comes to roles as Fiona from the Shrek series, Natalie from the two Charlie's Angels themed movies that she did with Lucy Liu and Drew Barrymore. She also was in My Best Friend's Wedding with Julia Roberts, and she was also in the Christmas film The Holiday with Jude Law, Kate Winslet, and Jack Black. Now, other actresses were considered for the role, like the late Anna Nicole Smith, Jeri Ryan, Christina Applegate, Jennifer Connelly, Alyssa Milano, Robin Wright, Uma Thurman, Winona Ryder, Gwyneth Paltrow. But Chuck Russell, who was the director of the film, he wanted Cameron. And he even told the producers that if Cameron was not casted, he's not doing the film. And it was a success after that. Dorian Tyrell is the next character we're going to discuss. Now, he is part of Nico's crew and is one of the managers at the club, which is the Coco Bongo. He wants to take over because he is sick of taking orders from Nico. He decides to case the bank using his girlfriend and arranges the heist to take place while he is at the club so that he is not involved when the cops investigate. Now, since the heist was unsuccessful and one of his friends passed away, Dorian gets angry and finds out who was responsible. He then places a bounty on the mask and finds out that it is Stanley, who then tells him about the mask. Once Dorian places the mask on, his alter ego comes out and is evil. Stanley and Dorian get into a fight at the club, and then Dorian meets his doom at the end. Oops, spoiler alert. Peter Green plays his villain. Jack Nicholson, William Dafoe, Rupert Everett, Robert De Niro, and even Joe Pesci were considered for this role before Peter. Now, Peter began acting at the age of 25 in New York City, and earlier in his life, he dropped out of high school in New Jersey. So remember, if you talked about the music I told you about from the previous episode, we're going to talk about the music of the film. Now, this is based around jazz and swing because this brought an energetic and fun vibe that was needed for the iconic scenes of Tina and the mask and the dance scene, which was, I love that shot. That was awesome. Now, this is all Jim and Cameron dancing, except the most complicated moves, that's where the professionals had to jump in there. The other iconic scene for that's good for the with the music is Cuban Pete.
Call me Cuban Pete. I'm the king of the rumba beat. When I play the maracas, I go chick-chicky-boom, chick-chicky-boom. Yes, sir, I'm Cuban Pete. I'm the craze of my native street. When I start to dance, everything goes chick, chicky, boom, chick, chicky, boom.
Now, this showed the fun side of Jim and something that the audience can sing and dance to. It's awesome. The score of the music allowed the audience to see the fun and whimsy of the film because the mask character is very cartoon-like, but still has the tender moments. Another tidbit is that the song "G Baby" and "I Good About Ain't I Good to You"? Oh, that's the song that Tina Carlisle was singing in the club. That's not really Cameron's voice, by the way. This song was dubbed by Susan Boyd, the mask character. Now, because of this cartoon-like, this was inspired by the cartoonist Tex Avery and some of his cartoons. Now, Jim Carrey saved the studio a lot of money when it came to the special effects because of his movements that were so flexible and the cartoonish-like. They didn't really have to enhance it much. So if you have the DVD, there's a commentary of a special feature of that where you can get a little bit more information about that. This is how I know. This is really cool. So what they did was they used the inspiration of Tex Avery in the scenes like where the mask acts like a wolf when he sees Tina at the nightclub. They also use different cartoon characters within the mask character itself, which would be the Tasmanian Devil, which is the spinning movements when how he travels, Pepe Le Pew, which he's romancing Tina at the landfill park, and Bugs Bunny when he's dying in the arms of the gangster that shot him. Now, if you remember, we're talking about the themes, duality and repressed desires. What this means is that Stanley is an insecure and overlooked man by day, but when he puts the mask on at night, he becomes cartoonish, confident, and very bold. But for Dorian, it brings the darker, violent nature outside of his normal behavior. This shows a transformation in Stanley. He did not have to use the mask as a crutch, but realized that he can just be himself and get the girl. It represents power and responsibility because Stanley allowed the mask to do things that he would never do, like stand up to bullies, flirt with Tina, or even rob a bank. You can also see that in Dorian's case, it shows how easily power can be corrupt. It has the good versus evil theme, which is Stanley against versus Dorian. It has romance in it due to Tina and Stanley. They come from two different worlds, but after overcoming the obstacle, which both the mask and Dorian, they were able to be together in the end. Yay! I grew up watching this movie, and it has become a classic of my generation. I was born in the 90s. I loved watching this movie. I even have my cousin. She came to my house one day, and we watched it together, and now it has become one of her favorites as well. If you've ever seen The Mask, and you would love to share your memories, thoughts, favorite scenes, or what it means to you, let me know. I want to share this with all my other listeners so they can watch The Mask and have the same memories or the same favorite scenes as you do. Well, guys, that's it. I want to thank you guys for joining me today. And I want you to, on this episode of Talk About The Mask, which is one of my all-time favorite movies, we're going to talk about, next time, one of my favorite TV dramas, Castle. You don't want to miss out on this episode, too. Guys, thank you so much for joining me. Have a wonderful day. And let's remember to lounge together. Bye, guys. What's the matter with Doc and MJ? I need a little bit of a devil to move up. I'm good, that's good, there's a day down. Oh, mother, God, shoot the body. Hit, stop, jump, shake the moon, and wow, see ya.